Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
That's the sound of rock cracking, and you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And this week, we're going to talk about last week's RNC Republican National Convention and what happened and how did the speakers do, and did Mitt Romney get the message across that he is the best person to be elected president of the United States that's running this year? Well, we're going to talk about that this week, so stay tuned. You're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. We're glad to have you new listeners. I know a lot of you are coming on board to see what Doc Holliday has to say about the Republican National Convention. So we're going to have a whole show devoted to that. But don't fear, we will have the Tombstone of the Week Award coming on at the end. So be sure to listen to this whole show. We're going to get everything kicked off with a great opening of when Paul Ryan came up to the podium to speak. Let's listen to what Paul Ryan said right now.
Paul Ryan.
Chairman, delegates, and fellow citizens, I am honored by the support of this convention for Vice President of the United States. I accept the duty to help lead our nation out of a jobs crisis and back to prosperity. And I know we can do this. I accept the calling of my generation to give our children the America that was given to us, with opportunity for the young and security for the old. And I know that we are ready. Our nominee is sure ready. His whole life prepared him for this moment. To meet serious challenges in a serious way, without excuses and idle words. After 4 years of getting the runaround, America needs a turnaround, and the man for the job is Governor Mitt Romney.
And that was Paul Ryan in the beginning of his acceptance speech for the being nominated as the Vice President of the United States for the Republican Party. And he came out with a speech that was swinging. It struck right at Obama and his failures. It also helped lift up Mitt Romney. As you just heard, he believes in Mitt Romney. And he says, well, like he said, we need a turnaround in this country. And Mitt Romney's a turnaround man. And so the Republican Convention, to me, did what it needed to do to introduce Mitt Romney to America. For those who are not political pundits, for those who are not political junkies, so many people have turned it off. They always say, well, some people don't listen to the election till after Labor Day. Well, this is it. This is the time in America tuned in to hear what was going on at the Republican National Convention. Albeit, yes, that's right, it started one day later than usual because of Hurricane Isaac, which everybody thought might threaten the whole convention. As it was, it steered well to the west of that and made landfall. And thank goodness it wasn't a devastating hurricane, but it did disrupt many lives. And we do indeed keep those in our thoughts and prayers as they clean up the mud and get the power back going. And there's always a long haul of getting things cleaned up. So we do, our thoughts go out to our listeners who are in those areas, who are in that knee-deep cleanup effort, and more than that in some places. So the convention was delayed, but it came in with a powerful pack. You got to remember, why are we listening and why am I playing these parts of the Republican National Convention right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics? You go back, you listen to my show over the last several months, and what are the final words that I say? I end every show saying the four most important words in America in 2012, get Obama out now. And that is exactly what the Republican National Convention had to do, put the people together to show the country that the party is enthused about its candidate, its nominee, and it's enthused about the vice presidential nominee, and that they together make a team that will defeat Barack Obama in November and get America back to work. It's simple, folks. We need jobs. And Mitt Romney came out, and this convention showed America all the different parts and places and communities and people and ethnic groups. They were represented in the Republican National Convention with enthusiasm. There's great leaders from all different parts of America came together, put on a convention, and showed America what success looks like, what success smells like, and what success needs to be coming November 6th. Go and vote for the team that votes for capitalism and has a plan for 12 million new jobs. So I wanted you to hear Paul Ryan. I wanted you to hear the enthusiasm of people that were gathered up to support his nomination for vice presidential candidate. And I want to go on today's show, continue more about the GOP convention. But I have to tell you, yes, it is true. They are people who, from networks, who do everything they can to actually despise a Republican or despise conservatives. I think I've watched, because they had more coverage, I watched some on public broadcasting, and Mark Shields, if you know Mark Shields, who's always on public broadcasting, he has to be the most partisan, and he's supposed to be a liberal Democrat, but I mean, just the everything he could get a word in that made Mitt Romney and Republicans look awful, he did not fail to that. But let me give you an example. One time when they were showing Mitt Romney coming in about to give an acceptance speech, and then Mark Shields going, that's just what Dukakis did to show he could meet the people. Mitt Romney may be a former governor of Massachusetts, but he's not Michael Dukakis now. He is not the short man who rode in a tank and tried to look tough. Michael Dukakis failed, and that's exactly why Mark Shields was trying to equate Mitt Romney to Michael Dukakis. Okay, I just had to point that out. There are other times, and Gwen there that was on public broadcasting station, she wrote a book about Obama and his election, and I think she'll be doing the vice presidential debate. Now, is she biased? Well, one time Mark Shields made one of his comments that supported Obama, And they had a big picture, and they quickly went to another picture, but they're showing all the correspondence there. And Gwen had a, she had a fist like, right on. And I tell you what, showing bias is something that we just have to realize. And, you know, if you're a conservative, you're fighting against the mainstream media all the time. The Republican National Convention should go out in an unbiased atmosphere over the airwaves. Everybody knows that it's the party. Yes, they're going to be giving their best. But the correspondents, and the, when you lose faith in the news media, when they're, you can ask tough questions, but they're not asking the tough questions of Republicans as much as they're trying to smear them in many ways. Again and again. And you watch, if you watch the other coverages. So let me give you another example. We're going to go on and we're going to get to some more of the speeches and talk about it. But there's one part where Chris Matthews, the big mouth, and you know, he's an intelligent guy. I've watched his show over the years. But he gets so partisan and so biased. And he had the RNC chairman, Mr. Priebus, was on the show. And let me play this clip and let you hear what you have to put up with. And I want to know, is this same pressure going to be put on the Democrats when they come into Charlotte? Let's listen to what Chris Matthews and the RNC chairman, how he treated the RNC chairman.
Control. Where are we at under this pressure?
This foreignization of the guy.
What? We're doing it right now.
So you don't think Obama is influenced by foreign influences?
Okay. So you don't think government taking over healthcare?
What's this European thing of yours?
Okay.
Well, what do you think?
Let's work on time. Go ahead, Liz.
What are you up to?
Okay.
Chris, let me ask you a question.
He's not really domestic. Oh, he brought it up.
All right.
Okay.
You don't think that the takeover of our healthcare system called Obamacare is a problem?
Let me tell you some history, sir. Teddy Roosevelt pushed for that. Franklin Roosevelt pushed for that. Truman pushed for that. Were they all under the influence of Europe?
I'm not going to get into a shouting match with Chris, so you guys can move on.
You're losing this one.
No, it's not losing.
I'm not
going to
sit here.
Okay.
Foreigner is the thing your party's been pushing. Sununu pushed it. Everybody pushed it.
The party.
Okay.
All right. Garbage.
It's your garbage.
Yeah.
And folks, I just, you know, you heard a bunch of garbage at the end. And that's what Chairman Priebus just said, garbage. Because Chris Matthews was like an attack dog. I mean, and then he just plastered and plastered. Wouldn't give the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Mr. Priebus, any time to answer. And just plastered him like he was some, like a person that had no knowledge of the past. Of talking about Obamacare, and I'm telling you, this election is going to get uglier and uglier. You see, as Romney goes up in the polls, you're going to see more and more of these mainstream media correspondents lose it. They're going to lose it, and when I say lose it, they're going to lose their marbles because they can't believe their messiah, the political god they helped get elected in 2008 without asking any real serious questions. They can't believe he could get beat. And I'm telling you, that's why it's so important to get enthusiastic and make sure you do not sit on the couch and not get involved. Make sure you get every conservative that they're registered and get them ready to vote, and you get an accountability system to get them out to vote. And listen, it's going to be coming down to a point where I have a guest that'll be coming on next week, and he'll be talking to us what he's doing. He said it's time to start saying why and wondering about why. He's tired of hearing all the reasons why Barack Obama should be beat. He says it's time for the how. How are we going to beat him? How are you going to get people out to vote? How are you going to get your neighbors accountable? Everybody you know that's going to vote conservative is going to vote to change the course of this nation. You need to make sure they're going to vote, get them accountable, and if you need to make sure they got transportation, you do that. Now's the time to go down the checklist and get these things done. And we'll be talking to our guests next week, and I'll tell you more about it at the end of the show. Now, it's time for me to remind my listeners, as we listen to the Republican National Convention highlights, just hitting just a few minor highlights because there's so much was put in. But you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. I want to take this time to say thank you to our new listeners. So many of you listening to us for the first time. We want you to come back because right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, you'll hear things you won't hear on any other show. We're going to give you excitement. We're going to give you an angle into what's going on in this election that you won't hear anywhere else. So make sure you listen to us each week. And you just put us on favorites on your right there on your computer so you can hear us every week. And I'm telling you one thing, it's getting more and more, like I said, in my book that's called Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And if you want to check it out, or buy it, you need to get it for Election Day. Get it for your liberal friends. Get it for your conservative friends. But you can go to my website at GetObamaOutNow.com. And there we got some exciting new things. If you like to know what's going on in the arts and sciences, well, I'll tell you one thing, in the art world, I don't know much about being able to draw. I wish I could. But by golly, I like poetry. And if you want to know, my new section in my website is called Poems to Save America. I'm trying to get one up every week, and they're lined up in a little section. You can go there at the top of the page on my website, Poems to Save America. Print them out, pass them out, get the word out. We want to take this country back. And that's my 2 cents worth this week for my ad. I'm going to tell you, go to my website, order my book, get it for your friends, get it for your neighbors, and go to the free Poems to Save America. Doesn't cost you a cent. Go there, print them out, pass them out, let the word go out. We're taking America back. Now, it's time to get back to the Republican National Convention. And I told you how Chris Matthews just attacked in his interview with, he had it on his own show and just attacked the chairman of the Republican National Convention, Mr. Priebus. But let me, Brian Williams had a chance to talk with Paul Ryan as soon as after he spoke, and he asked him, he confronted him about some of the things he said. So let's hear this interview real quick, a snippet from Mr. Williams and our future Vice President Paul Ryan.
Apologies, Congressman. It's good news and bad news after last night. The good news is your speech truly did electrify this gathering. The bad news came from the Democrats. No sooner had you stopped. Here's a quote from Stephanie Cutter on their team. There's no delicate way to put this, but he lied. He blatantly lied and brazenly. Welcome to the NFL.
Yeah, welcome to the NFL. I don't expect the Obama campaign to say kind things. So,
any reaction, though? I mean, they've been fact-checking your speech, things like the debt limit, the GM plant, Medicare, all day long. You stand by all
absolutely
the words in it?
You think I would have said it otherwise? Of course I do.
You're on the Simpson Bowls. The quote from your speech last night was, he created, the president, a new bipartisan debt commission. They came back with an urgent report. He thanked them, sent them on their way, and then did exactly nothing. The problem with that, as people have pointed out all day, you were on the commission and voted against it. David Brooks in the New York Times, a piece entitled Ryan's Biggest Mistake, right, said Ryan voted no. This was a devastating blow. We would have had national action on debt reduction. You're allowed to defend
yourself. Well, actually, I disagree with that. Read the next paragraph of my speech, if you will. Do you have it right in front of you?
I don't.
The next paragraph is, we offered alternatives. So, if I didn't like Simpson Bowles, and I love Simpson and Bowles, they're great guys, I just don't think that plan actually fixed the problem. So what we did in the House is we took the ideas we liked from Simpson Bowles and then added other reforms to it and offered a solution and passed it. You can't get to common ground until you put solutions on the table, and that's the fault we're making about President Obama. He offered no solutions. The Senate hasn't passed a budget in 3 years. President Obama, not a single time, sent a budget to Congress where he said, here's how I'm going to fix the fiscal problem. So he created the commission, then disavowed the commission. We offered alternative solutions. That's how you get to common ground. That's what the president hasn't done. And the most predictable economic crisis coming in this country is a debt crisis. It takes leadership to prevent that from happening. That's what Mitt Romney's offering. Mitt Romney's put solutions on the table. Mitt Romney said, here's how I'll fix this debt crisis. That's what we did in the House. And so That, to me, is the point here. The president has been AWOL on providing the kind of leadership that's necessary to prevent this fiscal crisis. Just because I didn't like that particular solution, which I don't think fixed the problem, I offered, and I owed my constituents, alternatives. Mitt Romney owes the Americans a plan. That's what the Romney plan for a stronger middle class is all about. That's what his reforms that he's offered. That's what the Romney-Ryan plan is about. Getting this country back to work, getting higher take-home pay, getting economic growth, preventing a debt crisis.
Finally, on the GM plant, I know the plant is a big deal.
It's a huge deal on your part. I got a lot of buddies from high school who lost their jobs.
And I've listened carefully to your speeches, the friends of yours who went on to technical school,
and
I can remember from memory, got an HVAC certificate, and on and on. And believe me, where I come from, it's the same story. Famously, however, Mitt Romney, the son of Detroit, had a choice and said that he disagreed with efforts to prop up the domestic auto industry. That would have saved the plant in your local town.
Well, I think really what got the plant was $4 gas, a lack of an energy policy. And that predates the Obama years. We need a better energy policy in this country. But what Mitt Romney has said is, he didn't say no support for Detroit. He said Detroit should go through a managed bankruptcy, and on the back end of that bankruptcy, after a restructuring, then they should get support.
But there was no money for restructuring. There was no managed bankruptcy. It wasn't in the realm of the possible.
Well, we had a political bankruptcy. And what happened was the Obama administration put themselves in the position to pick winners and losers. And I don't think that was one that was in keeping with the rule of law. The point about the plant in my hometown, President Obama came there and campaigned in the plant in 2008. And he said, this plant will be here for another 100 years. He got elected. He put his policies in place. The plant's empty. Nobody works there anymore. This story is one of empty promises after empty promises by President Obama. He campaigned in 2008 saying he was going to do all these wonderful things. He was going to cut the deficit in half, prevent unemployment from getting above 8%, and the opposite occurred. So what we're living is in the broken promise Obama economy today. That, to me, matters. If you go out and say you're going to do one thing while you're campaigning, and then the opposite occurs when you're governing, I think people want to hold you accountable for that.
Tell us about tonight's speech.
It's going to be a speech where Mitt Romney picks up where we left off and says, here's how we're going to get people back to work. Here are my plans for getting higher take-home pay, more jobs. We got to get this debt under control. It's going to take leadership. It's going to take an executive leadership, and he has this kind of skills. It's also going to be a speech where people get to know the man, Mitt Romney, better. I wish people had the opportunity to meet him like I know him, because I really believe they'll see the qualities, the decency, the goodness in this person. And what Mitt Romney's going to do is show himself who he is, the kind of character he is, what motivates him to the country that I think he's going to be leading in January.
Due respect, he's been running for 6 years. Why don't we know him?
Well, he hasn't given this kind of speech before.
Okay, and just like Paul Ryan said, Mitt Romney had never given this kind of speech before. But let me tell you, Paul Ryan hit a home run at the Republican National Convention. Everything built up to the climax of the final speech by Mitt Romney, his acceptance speech, and Mitt Romney hit a home run. And leave it up to Mark Shields. Let me tell you, the mainstream media, wow. You know, he said, Mark Shields spent the whole week saying, we don't know the man. We don't know the man. And then Mitt Romney gives this great acceptance speech, explains who he is and why he's doing what he's doing, and then he hits the need that his plan will give 12 million jobs. What a bold plan to move America forward, to help everybody if you get 12 million new jobs. And yet, Mark Shields said he didn't offer any, he didn't give a framework of how he's going to do it. He didn't list what he's going to do. What, Mark Shields, are you deaf? And then a whole week he says, you got to explain who you are. And that's what Mitt did. And he went on and talked about his jobs and five things we need to do. And that is exactly the framework that Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan are going to build on. The people are going to hear it. They're going to accept it. And the media is going to keep saying, who is this Mitt Romney? And they're going to try to put it in the people's mind. You don't know who you are. You don't know who Mitt Romney is. You better stick with what you know, and that's Barack Obama. And that is plain balderdash. I said balderdash. And that is exactly what you need to tell your friends and neighbors, if they are so confused they don't know who to vote for at this point in time, it's almost okay. Do you not have a clue? Is there a screw loose in your head? Do you enjoy seeing 23 million people suffering, looking for jobs that are underemployed or not employed? If you want more of the same, then you go and you vote for Barack Obama. But if you want change and you want leadership and you want somebody with bold new ideas that are proven to work, you go back and look what Ronald Reagan did. This is building on a Reagan dream. And that's why we need Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan in the driver's seat leading this nation. And it's time, just like our friend Clint Eastwood, the outlaw Josie Wells, make my day. He came up, and let's hear a little bit of what he said. I want to save room on this show to let Mitt Romney finish out the show. But I wanted you to know right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, we listened and we followed this convention, and we will with the Democrats. But I saw some fire in the eyes of the delegates. I saw people who weren't quite sure who this Mitt Romney was become a believer. And I'm telling you, there's momentum building and everything. And this is what you need to know. You won't hear anywhere else, but the mainstream media is getting ready to put out some bitter pills. And it's like poison pills. If they have to make America ruin themselves or they have to hurt America, this media, the people in power, will not go gently into that good night. And they got power, and they want the liberal far left wing of this Democratic Party to control this nation for 4 more years. They don't want to give up power. So there's some poison pills are going to start dropping out of the mainstream media. You heard a little bit of it tonight on this show, on this week's show. You heard Chris Matthews. I've talked about Mark Shields. And there's a number of them. If you listen to any on MSNBC, when they had Governor Walker from Wisconsin, and we've talked about him all the way back before his recall election, which he won. And they were just lambasting Governor Walker, jumping on him and double and triple teaming him. And he wouldn't even let him. He had finally said, "You're going to let me talk? And I'll talk over you." And it's just like the mainstream media was wanting to attack everyone that wanted to speak up for the Republicans. And that's why I'm glad we got to hear from Dirty Harry himself, the outlaw Josie Wells, Rowdy from Rawhide. Anyway, he put everything together at the end of his life here. He's seen a lot, played a lot of roles. We had something great to say. Let's listen a little bit of what Clint Eastwood had to say just before Marco Rubio, Senator Rubio, introduced Mitt Romney.
Think, but that's not really the case. There's a lot of conservative people, a lot of moderate people, Republicans, Democrats in Hollywood. It's just the conservative people, by the nature of the word itself, are play a little more close to the vest. They don't go around hot dogging it. So but But they're there. Believe me, they're there. And I think that, in fact, there's some of them around town. I saw John Voight. There's a lot of people around here in town. John's here, Academy Award winner. Terrific guy. And these people are all like-minded, like all of us. So I've got Mr. Obama sitting here, and he's. I just was going to ask him a couple questions, but I remember 3.5 years ago when Mr. Obama won the election, and though I wasn't a big supporter, I was watching that night when he was having that thing, and they were talking about hope and change, and they were talking about yes, we can, and. And it was dark and outdoors, and it was nice, and people were lighting candles, and they were saying, I just thought, this is great. I mean, everybody's crying. Oprah was crying. And I was even crying. And then finally, I haven't cried that hard since I found out that there's 23 million unemployed people in this country.
And there he is, Dirty Harry himself, the outlaw Josie Wells, saying he cried. Even the night Obama was elected, he cried, and so did Oprah. And he didn't cry that much again until 23 million people are without work and they haven't been helped in 3.5 years. And that's what Clint Eastwood said. You remember one of the most memorable statements during the acceptance speech, Mitt Romney said, "Something's wrong when the happiest night in your life is the day you were elected. You voted for President Obama. He didn't do anything for you. If the happiest day is when you voted for him, what has he done since? Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?" And that's the whole election in a nutshell. Okay, we've got to let Governor Romney... I want you to hear his acceptance. I wish we could hear the whole speech. He got really fired up at the end, hit everything right on there. Let's just let Mitt say in his own voice how he accepts the nomination.
Mr. Chairman and delegates, I accept your nomination for President of the United States. Humility, deeply moved by the trust you place in me. It's a great honor. It's an even greater responsibility. And tonight I'm asking you to join me to walk together to a better future. By my side, I've chosen a man with a big heart from a small town. He represents the best of America, a man who will always make us very proud. My friend and America's next Vice President, Paul Ryan.
Friends, patriots, that's the enthusiasm that was at the Republican National Convention. Mitt Romney is their nominee. He's chosen Paul Ryan, and he's asking Americans to join them for a journey back to success, back to prosperity. Back to someone who understands how a business is run. Back to someone who knows how to create jobs. And that's our job in the next couple months. We got to journey with them and make sure we get Obama out now. And saying that, this show has been concentrated on the Republican National Convention. Go back and listen to it again as you need to. And let me say this. On this week's Tombstone of the Week Award, we always have the Benedict Arnolds. And so we could call it the Benedict Arnold Award this year or this week. But let me just tell you, this week's Tombstone of the Week Award goes to the actions of the ex-governor, former governor of the state of Florida, the all-important state of Florida. Guess what? this former Republican governor who was getting beat by Marco Rubio, so he just had to get out and run as an independent and all these crazy things. He's the one that hugged Barack Obama on a campaign trail, Republican governor of Florida over 4 years ago. And now, guess what? He's going to be at the Democratic National Convention this week going on in Charlotte. He's going to get that bear hug from Obama again. He said, this is his award. He said, Obama shows the leadership America needs. It shows a mind of former Governor Crist of Florida has been fooled. And so many Americans have been fooled. And I just have to say, Governor Crist, former Governor Crist of Florida, you get this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award because you endorsing President Obama after 4 years of leadership. I think the Tombstone of the Week Award could go to no better person this week. I hope you wake up in Charlotte. I hope a lot of Americans wake up. Compare the conventions, compare the truth. Watch out for the mainstream media's poison pills that will be popping everywhere and trying to do anything but talk about what this president has failed to do. Now, that's this week's Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Next week, we will have on this show somebody out there like you and me, somebody who doesn't have a big name, somebody just loves America with all his heart, and he's out there knocking on doors, gathering people together, finding people who have RVs. If you have an RV or some kind of motor home and you can travel in, you need to listen to next week's show because he will tell you the most important news that you need to know. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out here that in this country like Fred Solomon, a great patriot. He didn't just start. He's been at this for a while, but he's given everything he's got. You need to listen to next week's show, and we will talk about the Democratic National Convention on next week's show. Also, God bless you. Thank you for listening. New listeners, come back and listen to us. And I'm signing off with the four most important words in America in 2012. GetObamaOutNow.com. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.